Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
How is everyone this morning?
Very well.
Awesome. Remember last time I gave you, a couple weeks ago, I gave you some facts about the cold and how to make Lester in it? I'm going to put Rick Brown on the spot. He lost 3 pounds from shivering. Well, that was good. That was a blessing. And what about the 60-degree day that we had last week? Pretty awesome, huh? The next day, how many of you cried? I did, or felt like it. I want to start out with prayer this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, we humbly come before you. We ask that your presence is with us today. We ask that you just allow us to clear our minds and open our hearts, Father. We ask that you just allow us to worship you and give glory to you. We thank you for everything that you're doing in this church and for every person here. We ask this in your precious holy name. Amen. Our first song, you can stand. Our first song, The Solid Rock, is on page 340. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much. You are worthy. Allow us just to remember that every day we are to praise you. Every day we are to worship you. I ask that your presence is here. I ask that you are with us in this service and throughout. I ask that you bless this service and bless each person here, and the ones that are not here, bless them also. We thank you for everything. We ask this in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements here. On the back of your bulletin today, after worship, immediately, those of you who are able to stay, stick around for a light lunch. And then Rachel and all those who can stick around will begin to make VBS decorations. You know, it's hard to believe with zero or
about weather going on, but coming June, we will have, Lord willing, 70, 80, 90 degrees.
So if you're able to stick around after worship today, please plan on doing so. Also, on the back of your bulletin, we are in need of people who have a heart for kids,
a passion to work with kids, a passion to minister to kids. We don't just want a live body. We want somebody who has a heart to minister to them in nursery and Sunday school. And so if God's speaking to your heart, please, you know, share something with either Julie Seif or Amy Fruth or myself or Val Miller, and we can begin to work with you to get you plugged in there as well. And on the 28th, this is not in your bulletin, but you're going to want to make note, in 2 weeks from today, we will have a special service with a potluck immediately following the service on January the 28th. Many of you may not know, but we did pay off the mortgage here this past week. Amen? Amen. 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 Al, I said it all along, Al. Before I'm out of here, that mortgage will be paid for, and I plan on going nowhere, and that's still paid for. So that's a wonderful thing. So we want to have a worship service on the 28th of this month with a potluck following, and basically we're going to address the mortgage, and it will be similar to a mortgage burning service, you know, just basically to celebrate what God has done. And friends, God is doing some incredible things. And so mark that on your calendar, January the 28th, and basically, you know, we will have a potluck immediately following. Please make note of the other announcements on the back of your bulletin, and as God leads you, please be involved as the Lord leads you. We are going to dismiss Children's Church for those in kindergarten through fourth grade, and I'm not sure that my... Okay, all right, and let's turn our attention to the reading of God's...
Our reading today is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and is on page 1821. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. This has been the reading. Ushers may now come forward for offering.
We do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series titled The Peacemaker, and we find ourselves in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And friends, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he was exhorting them to live a life worthy of their calling. He was exhorting them to exemplify the characteristics of that worthy life. And then he exemplified the cause in these first six verses. The Apostle Paul, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he penned this letter. He says, I beg you, I beseech you, I encourage you, I implore you, is what he's saying, to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, I don't know about you, but the scripture tells us that all of us have been called. Now, the theological term for that calling or that wooing, the scripture, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And we call that prevenient grace, that drawing, that wooing, that pulling, that tugging on our heart, that from only from God of drawing and pulling us to Him is an act of grace. The reason it's an act of grace is that you didn't deserve it and I didn't deserve it, and in fact, no one deserves it. And when we begin to understand that we are not deserving of any of what God does, the natural reaction should always be, wow, I should do something for God. And yet in our society, we see the exact opposite. We see a people group in America that want what God can give to them, and then they want what the world can give to them as well. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I beseech thee, I implore you to live a walk that is worthy of the calling of God. We see that even in our churches, friends. 5,000 some odd denominations that we get stuck in the superficial, we get stuck in the non-essentials, and we do not major in the essentials. Christ crucified. We feel that we have a right to believe the way that we want to believe, and any organization that has a sense or a spirit of disunity will not thrive. It will not move forward. It will not do what it is intended to do, and we see this in denominations all the time. We see this in the UMC right now. There's no unity. You see, what Paul is writing in chapter 4, verse 1 here is he is saying, I am a prisoner for the Lord. And he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling. Have you ever wanted something so bad for someone else, and then you realize that you wanted it worse for them than they wanted it for themselves? That's kind of where I find myself. You see, Monday is the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, probably most well known for his civil rights activist. He himself was a pacifist, and what that means is he was not taking up arms to institute his initiatives of social justice. A pacifist does not enact violence for violence. Those are the reasons why he says violence cannot drive out violence. Hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. And yet we know the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. probably the most for his I Have a Dream speech. I have a dream is what he proclaimed. A dream of a world where people are not seen for their color. And he goes on. not to make light of the late Dr. Martin Luther Jr. King here this morning, but I too have a dream. I have had a dream since the day that I entered into the village of Gibsonburg, and that dream looks like a village that is transformed. I have a dream for the village of Gibsonburg that it looks like people coming to the realization that they need Jesus in their life. I have a dream of God's power being unleashed in this village in such an extent that there is nothing that can stop it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. I have a dream that the churches in this village would unite as one. They would be on the same team. They would be pulling in the same way. They would not compete against one another, nor would they get in each other's way. I have a dream, friends, that the powerful witness of unity would be realized here in this village, that the powerful witness of unity would be seen by those who are in need of Jesus. But it's got to start with you and me. We must begin to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And what that looks like is that looks like we are about the unity of the believers and the brothers and sisters in Christ. What that looks like is it's the essence of being one. You see, unity, friends, is defined as the state or fact of being united or combined into one. Whether you realize it or not, when you received Jesus, you were united. You were brought into the fellowship of the church, universal. The church that began when Jesus instituted the church, and he said, I set my church upon this rock, he said to Peter. When you placed your faith, you have been brought in of being united into that church, friends. But it also goes further. It's a oneness of mind, a oneness of purpose, a oneness of intent. Years ago, I was traveling in college when I was playing football, and we went to an away game. And we went into this mall, and we had dinner in there before the game, and one of my fellow teammates, he thought that we had time that we could go and peruse the different stores. An underclassman, nonetheless. I think I was a senior at the time. He went into a music store. It's a true story. And he thought that one of these CDs at the time was too good to pass up, and yet he didn't have the $16.99 to buy it. And so he took that CD, shoved it in his pocket, and he walked out the door. Well, wouldn't you know it, he got caught. The oneness of mind. When the coach was done with him, he had to face the rest of us, 70 of us. The oneness of mind, the oneness of intent, the oneness of purpose. You see, we were there to play a football game. We were there to do what we were there to do. We weren't there to look at music. We weren't there to pick up music, let alone steal it. And yet I'm wondering what's going on and what the church in America is stealing from what God has its purpose for it to be. You see, until we come to oneness of mind, oneness of purpose, oneness of intent, we will never experience the powerful witness of unity. And yet that's the dream. That's the dream that Jesus has for the church. And yet we are an impotent church as a universal church because we don't feel what our brothers and sisters feel. We don't experience what they experience because I'm fearful that we don't want to. We're so caught up in our own individualistic, isolated cocoon of a life that we are realizing Gandhi's statement when he asked, what is the biggest hindrance to the advancement of Christianity all around the world? And he said, Christians. Ouch. Ouch. He further said that, I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Because he saw the case in the heart, the mind, and the soul, the duplicity, if you will. He didn't see the integrity, the honesty. He didn't see the life that is worthy of the calling to which all of us have been called. He saw something different. Now, if Gandhi sees something different, if he saw something different, my question is, what does the world see? What does the world see when it sees you? What does the world see when it sees me? What does the world see when it looks at the church? A fractured body of believers, a divided body of believers, a body of believers that's splitting because of this or that, a body of believers that is so caught up on the superficial and the superfluous that we don't understand the core. We want what we want. We want things our way. That's why we go to Burger King. Have it your way. I want pickles. I want worship a certain way. And we miss the powerful witness of unity. To be united is to become one in intent, purpose, and mind. And then, my friends, we will understand what it means to live a life that is worthy of the call that God has blessed us with. A call to life. You see, if you read the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, you will see what you and I were before Jesus came into our life. We were dead and now we're alive. We were aliens and now we are found then to be home. We were strangers. And now we are family. We have been adopted into the family of God. He goes further. You are God's workmanship. You are the very being that houses God Himself, the Holy Spirit. So the first three chapters of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, this is what you were, and this is what God did for you. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, he says, now this is what your life should look like because of it. And friends, if there's one thing that I know, and I see too much damage in too many people's lives each and every day, if there's one thing that I know, it's a whole heck of a lot easier to start out right and to continue on that road than it is to experience travesty, heartbreak, all the difficulties because of the poor choices. So Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. A life worthy. You see, all of us, we need one another. You see, it's been said that your family is the friends that you can never choose. Right? Well, Christians, that's your new family that you didn't get the choice to choose, right? I don't know about you, but I have family members in my family that they may not like me very well. In fact, I'll go out on a limb and I'll say they don't like me very well. I still pray for them every day. I still lift them before God every day. Why? Because I am seeking to live a life that is worthy of the calling, and that calling says that I am to love my neighbor and to love my enemies. I pray for those who need to have prayer, not because it's some duty somewhere, but because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's interceding for you and for me right now, today. The worthy walk of life, to live it in a worthy manner of the calling to which you and I have been called. We have been called to a higher thing. We have been called to a higher purpose. We have been called to a higher intent. Not life as normal, as usual. Please. My dream is that Gibsonburg would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through your life and mine. My dream is to experience the surrounding areas of Gibsonburg, to see the flood of the Spirit of God flow through other people and a flood of people just coming to Him in repentance and in truth, to receive what He can only give to them. Because, friends, the characteristics of the worthy walk, the Apostle Paul says, with all lowliness, humility, meekness, gentleness, patience, forbearing one another in love. We'll get to the last one here in a moment. You see, the world will throw pride at you. The world will throw anything but meekness at you. The world will throw haste and hurry at you. The world will throw rights at you. And those are the things that I believe are the opposite of lowliness or humility and meekness or power under control or patience or forbearance in love. You see, when you come to Christ, when you say, I am all in, and you allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart, mind, and soul, you cannot help but allow the patience, the humility, the gentleness or meekness, the love to saturate your soul. And there's only one place and one place only that that comes from, and that's the eternal heavens. It's not from any place in this world. And so when you aspire to lead a life worthy of the calling, you get in God's word, you begin to pray, you begin to feel what he feels and see what he sees, you begin to be about his business in this world, you will begin to exemplify the characteristics of the worthy walk. And when we all do that, we will experience the powerful witness of unity. I've been on a lot of sports teams over the years. There's nothing that will quicker that will kill any organization, and that's disunity. Disunity. You see, I don't believe Jesus came to earth to set up any belief system or any religion. I believe he came to earth to set up a movement. I believe Jesus came to earth to set up a new way, rather than in our own strength and ability, in our own difficult ways we try to achieve being acceptable to a holy God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus came to set up a new way. And that new way is through him. So if you are here today, and if you're trying to do this in any other way other than depending upon the living Lord Jesus Christ, you're amiss. You're amiss. You're going about it all wrong. My dream, God's dream, for this church and this village is that we would experience the powerful witness of unity. I believe we're doing well in some areas. Some areas we got a ways to go. Some areas we need to even begin. Because the powerful witness of unity means that we're all pulling in the right direction, in the same direction, in God's direction. The powerful witness of unity means that we are about God's work and not about our own selfish agendas and wants and desires and what we yearn for. The powerful witness of unity, it speaks that we align ourselves with these other churches and we say, hey, how can we pray for you? How can we support you? That's the powerful witness of unity. See, non-believers, those who are not in Christ have too many reasons not to come to Christ. Why should we give them one more? Amen? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your love. Father, we thank you for this high calling. We thank you for you instituted the church. Father, help us to be the church that you wish us to be. Help us to be the church that is in unity, first off with you, and second with our brothers and sisters who have faith in you, O Lord. Help us to be that church, that beacon of light, the salt of the earth. Help us to be that church that prays for other churches. Help us to be that church that lifts up those who need prayer. Help us to be that church. Father, you're doing some incredible things, Lord, and we thank you. Father, help us to be the church that you want us to be, a church united, not only within ourselves, but a church united, moving forward with your intent, with your purpose and your will for us. We love you and we thank you. In the blessed name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. As we close this time of worship, would you please stand and turn into your hymnal to hymn 135 as we sing, Blessed Be the Ties That Bind. As we close here this morning, may the God of all peace bless you and keep you. May his love fill you And may you and I walk in the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. May we be eager to maintain that with God and with others. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go and be agents of peace. Amen.